Hi, Dan.
Hi, Jason.
Well, since last week.
What happened last week?
Last week, we now knew that there were going to be things in person.
Right.
Now we can report that Six Colors will be there. We will both be there.
Representing.
Yes. At Apple's developer conference at Apple Park. I don't know how this is going to go. Apparently, developers have gotten like schedules of like what they're going to do. Media, not so much. So I have
show up.
I have some briefings, and I am aware that I am supposed to show up, having turned in a negative COVID test the day before, and then we will be taken somewhere, and we'll
Jason,
see
you read my back page column, right? I've got bad news for where
we're
going.
I know the rainbow stage, it hungers.
Oh, no.
It's a big week. My son, who people who listen to my podcast may know, depending on the podcast, he has to go to school, and I'm often recording a podcast out here, and the garage door opens and closes because he rides his bike to school, and he did that for the last time today. That's it.
That's it. End of an era.
It is. So his graduation's next Thursday, so that'll be great, because I'll have be exhausted from WWDC and then roll right into the family events. But that's okay. It's our big week. I'm looking forward to it. I am curious about it. It's going to be a very different kind of thing, but we will try to cover it as best we can, you know, writing and podcasts and the like. We'll sneak some time in there probably to do a Six Colors podcast.
While
we're together. It may actually be like Monday night, because by next Friday you should be back home. And
I'm leaving on Wednesday, so yeah, I'll be well situated back on Friday.
Yeah, although I think my daughter is going to probably be sleeping in this room on Friday. But, you know, we'll wake her up or something. It'll all work out. Lot of rumors out there starting to pick up, although still really vague. I appreciated
that
Mark Gurman posted a story where he was like, oh, major changes to the iPad, but it really wasn't that different than what was in his newsletter, which was super vague, which is like, I'm fascinated, and I like Mark Gurman a lot. I think he is a reporter who is trying to report, and under the auspices of Bloomberg, they have asterisk, sure, what about that one story? But like his editors clearly, they have these quirky, Bloomberg has very quirky kind of standards for things like attribution and all that, and so I can make fun of like the people said and all of that, but he has I believe real sources. What I find fascinating is seeing the limits of his sources, and so in this case he knows that something is going on with the iPad and multitasking, but he doesn't really know what it is. And while it's fun to speculate about it, and I like doing that, you know, from Mark's perspective, he kind of can't. He needs to report on the details he knows, and he's getting details from people who don't know or didn't say everything about what's going on. And so you get this like iPad multitasking. Like I really do believe that we're going to see either a floating window or tile mode.
Yeah,
and it will support external displays, because if you're going to do that, you might as well finally put it on an external display. The OS already supports pointing devices and keyboards. Apple makes a display. It's a perfect time to do that. I think it'll also work on the iPad Pro, right? Like, and it frees up kind of interesting things with larger iPad down the road and stuff like that. So I think that's going to happen. But what Mark is reporting is very like changes to multitasking for more flexibility. Like it could just as easily be, instead of doing split view, you can put the little slider wherever you want.
Right.
Which
right.
is like not a, as exciting, like, right?
But, little, yeah, exactly. But it's, you know, to get a little inside baseball. I mean, you and I both know lots of, say, engineers who work at Apple, right?
Yeah.
We've met engineers.
Yeah.
And the thing you learn very quickly is people know about the project they're working on, But they don't know anything a lot of times, right? Like, you'll talk to people after an event like this, and they'll be like, oh, yeah, that's cool. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, they had their thing that they were working on. They're like, oh, yeah. And then this other thing, they're like, whoa, I didn't know they did that.
Extremely compartmentalized. And that's why when you look at somebody like Gurman who is pulling these sources, you're like, well, okay, he knows somebody who's got this, you know, partial window into what's happening.
They're working on a project that's touched by this project in a certain way, and so they can see the touch point and infer some things from that, but that's all they know.
Yeah, the people who, you got to get higher up the chain before people kind of know the whole strategy, and those people are definitely not the people talking to Mark Gurman, right? You know, they're not the people who are leaking this, because they, not only do they probably just, you know, are in a position of responsibility, but like, they just aren't people who have a motivation.
No.
Really. That's the other thing you look at, too. There's motivation.
Is to keep it quiet.
if you're high up there, right, like your job is like, nope, I'm not saying anything about this. So I like my job. So, it is interesting. I agree. Because, you know, Mark clearly he's well enough sourced that he has these kind of sources throughout several places, right? Because he'll talk about hardware. He'll talk about software. He'll talk about different platforms and software, right? So, like, you know, it's not like there's one person feeding all this information. And he's cultivated a network, which is, you know, I agree with you. He's developed that over a long time. I mean, he started
in college. He was a student in college when he was writing for 9to5 Mac. Yeah.
Right. And I think not long after I started in this business, and he had always been really well sourced, and he's continued that. So, you know, he's one of the more trustworthy people out there. He doesn't always have all the details, but you can usually look back at what he said and be like, oh, all right, I see now what the information he had was.
He got the entire advanced M1 chip story a year before it happened, right?
Right.
Like, that. What a coup that was. He basically had the M1 Max and M1 Ultra a year before they were announced. So
but it does also show the limits, right? Because as we're talking about, like, we talked about this last week and the week before too, right? Like, despite those vague rumors, there's not a lot that's concrete out there now. It feels like there's a lot of play.
Not about this one. Well, and he'll do things like say, you know, they've been trying to make that MacBook Air happen, maybe this time, but he doesn't, like, he knows that they're trying to make the MacBook Air happen, and he knows what the MacBook Air is, but he doesn't actually know, are they ready to announce it or not? Or the one that I really like is, he doesn't seem to have a lot of vision into the iMac, because he'll be like, an iMac is probably coming at some point, and he's like, clearly he doesn't know or can't say. I mean, sometimes it's or can't say. Sometimes you get information that the source says, I'll tell you this for the background, but, you know, I you can't report this right now, and so he'll have to hint at it. But, like, I think he doesn't know about the iMac. He obviously doesn't have a view into that like he does to some of the other products. And, like, I find that fascinating. But it does mean that this WWDC on Monday, this keynote, like, there's a lot of things on the list, a lot of various games that I've played this week, picking things where I pick things. It's like, it kind of can't all be true, right? So, and yet they're doing a big event. So, you know, a MacBook Air now? Well, maybe the only reason I say that, and I did write my, you know, wish list story this week. The only reason I say that is mostly that I'm ready for them to start kicking off M2. It's not a bad time to do it. And they've been trying to launch that product forever. But I could also see them saying, you know, supply chain, it's still a problem. We're not going to, not going to do this until the fall. And we're just going to hold on that.
The supply chain has been so rough. I mean, and hardware is one interesting place too, right? Because hardware is, you know, the metal hits the rubber hits the road. How about the rubber hits the road?
You there's don't physical want the metal to hit the road. It's bad.
Don't hit them. That's bad news. There's physical stuff that needs to interact, right? You need to hit a point where it's like, we're producing physical objects in this world, and those things have a footprint, right? Factories have to be spun up. Packaging has to be made. Things have to be shipped, right? And this is where you get the supply chain leaks, because it's hard to ship this much stuff, especially when it comes to the likes of the iPhone. You're making millions of these things and trying to send them out. People are going to notice and pick up little details about these things as they go. So oftentimes we see those, you know, those things hinted at. Filings is another good place, right? If you're creating physical goods, especially electronic equipment,
right?
it's got to be approved by the FCC. It's got to be approved by European regulators, right? Like, and so sometimes these things get unearthed because they're just, it's too hard to keep a lid on all of it when it gets to be something that is a physical object. So unlike software, which is bits that you can keep, you know, in an internal network or something like that, you know, it has its own challenges with people digging into stuff, but a lot of times that's somebody messed up or we're looking into, you know, stuff about breadcrumbs about pre-release stuff. But I think hardware stuff has been very sparse. We know kind of, again, like you said, we know that there are these things in the offing, especially because now that we've seen the Apple Silicon releases, we kind of have a better idea of what that roadmap looks like. We know there's an M2 coming. We just don't know when. And so you can guess, and it's a good speculation to be like, oh, well, we know the MacBook Air was one of the first M1 models. Therefore, it makes sense. It's one of the first M2 models. We've heard the rumors about the colorful ones, et cetera, et cetera. I feel everybody's confident in saying it arrives this year. But with all the supply chain stuff, you know, with a wrench thrown into it, it could be now, and it could be September,
and
be
a
December.
Developer conference isn't the time to do it. But again, I think that there's a moment. If they've been manufacturing them for a while now, and now they think they have enough to announce it, if you've got it, you start to sell it is the idea there. But
especially if you don't have other things, maybe, and you're like, well, we'd love to do a new MacBook Pro or the Mac Pro because it's a developer conference, but we don't have that. Yeah. We're not ready. So MacBook Air,
Mac Pro, they could announce and say it's shipping at the end of the year, though.
Yes.
So that's another possibility. Sure. But I think, but even if you take hardware out of the equation, I think on the software side, there's just so much potential here.
Sure.
Because not only are there are these iPad rumors that there's going to be a big iPad OS thing, one would hope that there would be, again, from my wish list column, advancement of some of these technologies that Apple's been rolling out. They did Catalyst and then they did SwiftUI. But I hear from developers that we know that it's not enough. It's not good enough and it needs to advance. So having some of that message would be really good. And then the thing that is hanging out there is Apple's AR VR headset.
Yeah.
And while conventional wisdom is and reports from people like Mark Gurman are that they originally planned on announcing it at this event but have decided not to, it's not ready and they're going to announce it later like they did with the Apple Watch, they'll do another event, maybe even the iPhone event, if not a separate event for it. I still think, and I this is a wild idea, but the more I think about it, the more I like it. I still think there is a distinct possibility that Apple will announce their reality operating system without announcing the hardware. And that seems like bananas. Why? Why would you do that? And the answer is everybody knows it's coming. They don't need to admit anything about it. They don't need to show the whole story. But it lets them hand things to developers now and say, start working now on this product using what what we're giving to you to build apps for it. And I think part of that story is they will literally have one or many off-the-shelf VR headsets that you'll be able to plug into certain Mac models and do all your testing. And it won't be the product, but it will be enough to get the story going. And that seems wild. Like, why would Apple ever pre-announce something without announcing the product? And the answer is because it's not ready and they want developers to get going and it's a huge priority for them. I mean, like, I can counter all of them. I'm not saying they will do it, but the more I think about it, the more I think they might do it. Like, why are they inviting all these people? Why are they so insistent on inviting people to be there in person? It feels, if all we're there for is to be people that they can show on the screen as being in Cupertino during a cutaway during the event, and that's it, like, or to show off their developer center, which I get that they're proud of that. They have a whole new developer center building, but like, it feels like they must have something tangible that they want people to see. And whether that's putting on VR goggles or it's a MacBook Air or it's a Mac Pro to look at but don't touch, I feel like there's got to be something for them to do. Now, maybe I'm totally wrong and it's all intangible and we all are sitting in our hotel rooms in San Jose and Cupertino and Santa Clara and Sunnyvale saying, what? Next week. But I don't know. I feel like I can't believe the most boring version of this event is going to happen, right? Where it's just like some OS updates. I believe there's something more, but I do not know what of the possibilities will be the ones that are real.
It's hard to harder to imagine. I think the biggest thing for me in terms of thinking why they wouldn't want to show off Reality OS before the headset is the, like you said, it comes back to the story, right? Like, because we've seen the AR, VR stuff spin up over time on iPhone, iPad. And I think the biggest challenge a lot of people have thinking about what an Apple headset might look like is understanding what Apple's proposition is, right? Because it's all well and good to come to third-party developers and say, we want to see what you can do with this. But Apple tends to be a company that wants to showcase its first party, you know, what it's doing, right? Like, this is why we're excited about this. And I think it's hard. I mean, not saying it can't do it, but it's definitely harder to do if you're not going to talk about your device. Just throwing it out there as a platform is rough.
I agree.
And I understand all the reasons why they would still do it. But
I just, I keep coming back to, like, you could finesse it, right? You could say, you know, where people are really interested in VR and AR, and we've added all these APIs and a way for you to preview it using third-party hardware attached to a Mac. And, you know, we can't see what you, you know, we can't wait to see what you do with it. And it's like,
I don't know.
Okay, but what do you mean? And everybody knows, right? Everybody knows what's really going on. But I agree with you. It's a weird way to do it. And the only reason you do it this way is because you want to give developers a leg up on this, all this new stuff, and show it off. And it would be silly. Here's the other thing. And I'll grant you, they did this with the Apple Watch. So maybe they will do this again. But it is a little silly to convene everybody at the developer conference when you're rolling out all the things and you're evangelizing to developers about what you want them to focus on, and then 2 or 3 months later say, oh, by the way, here's a totally new platform we can tell you
about.
No,
I agree. But which is why I think it's more likely in some ways that you get like a, you know, a splashy Apple promo video that at least shows off the headset, even if they don't talk about all the details or the specs or whatever. They might be like, coming next year, blah, blah, blah. And like, it's like a really, you know, they kind of did this with the watch. I mean, they talked more about it, but you could be vaguer. Like, I don't know. It's a tough line to walk now. And Apple, you know, or maybe a lot of people say they don't do things, but like Apple never does anything until it does, right? And then when you look at it in retrospect, you're like, oh, I understand why they did that.
I mean, despite the reports that they aren't going to announce it, part of me thinks maybe they are.
Well,
like they can announce it.
If you're not gonna,
whether they announce it now or in September doesn't really matter, even if it ships in December or January or February, and you just announce it.
It's literally a decision you can make that will not leak, because that decision can be made at the highest level.
Right.
Because it doesn't require, you know, having
hardware.
The
product doesn't exist, right? The product is just whatever you say it is at this point. So that doesn't have to leak.
Exactly. So you just have Tim Cook and a few execs deciding like, oh, we're going to talk about this. We're not going to talk
about
this. So maybe somebody made a keynote presentation or a video and we just decide whether or not to run it.
I guess what I've decided is I used to think, nah, they're not going to do it. And now I think, well, they got a lot of reasons to do it. Even though the reports say they're not going to do it and say that that this has been pushed back, there are so many reasons for them to do it right now that I'm going to keep an open mind to that, accepting the fact that, you know, the iPad stuff, and I'm sure they've got a bunch of really nice things for the iPhone because they always do. And, you know, I'm sure they'll tell a Mac story that includes, like, mostly it also does all the things that are on iOS and iPadOS, and that's fine.
Well,
I just feel like there's going to be something more.
I agree that the best argument for it is the fact that this is the developer-focused conference. And as we've seen in the past, when Apple wants to talk about stuff, it's not just going to come out and be like, hey, we're building this thing. It's really exciting. Here's our device that people are going to use. This is a whole new platform, which means things like WWC sessions, right? You want to spend some sessions on being like, hey, here are the APIs that are available for you. That's not something that feels as, you know, complimentary as a iPhone or Apple Watch event in the fall, where it's like you roll out a product and then that's sort of a fait accompli. Like, no, you want to spend some time having, if you really want developers to write stuff for this, they have to understand like what the platform is. Even if they're not talking about the headset, they have to know about, like, all right, is it just the stuff I'm building for the iPhone and that ports over? But how is that going to work if it ports over on a different device? I think there has to be context, and that makes sense for WWDC, because there's so many opportunities to present additional context with things like sessions, as opposed to having to spin up all the developer story in the fall, which is weird. So I don't know. I'm coming around on it being something they talk about, even if there is absolutely no product.
But the alternately, they could do their OS updates, and they could release
a MacBook Air. Goodbye.
Release a MacBook Air and pre-announce the MacBook Pro. Goodbye, or the Mac Pro. Goodbye. Like they could do that. They could do that, and then it would be less developer-y and more of a product event. But they could do it. And again, it is a developer event, but also it is a public media event, and it can be what they want it to be. So we'll see. I think it's fascinating that we got invited, because it's the first in-person event since the pandemic hit. I think we'll all be talking about sort of how they handle that part of it, that aspect of it. I hope that there's a lot of, a lot of outside time. All the inside time is going to be masked for sure. Hopefully none of us will get COVID while we're there. I wouldn't count on it, but you never know. I've got a graduation to go to. I really don't want to catch anything. So we'll find out. But, I am looking forward to it because we haven't done one of these in ages. So that part's good.
Being in person, I think, is a thing that has, there's a lot of excitement around that because it's something that hasn't been done in 3 years. So even with the smaller group that you're likely to see there, it is also a template for how Apple might run some of this stuff in the future, as I know we've discussed, whether that means, in continuing when COVID is happening or, at a later date if they decide we don't want to, this makes perfect sense from a template of we don't want to have to put on a giant show in San Jose or whatever.
Right. Well, it's keep expensive. In mind, too, it's on their... This is all on their...
It's on their campus. Right. So that's, quote-unquote, free. I mean, there's still... I'm sure there's still costs associated with all of this.
It means they control everything. Listening to ATP this week, they spent... I guess it's in their wheelhouse, an inordinate amount of time talking about food, because they always complain about the box lunches at WWDC. But this is the thing. When you're at a convention center, you have to use the caterers that the convention center has. Whereas now, the food that is going to be there, it's Cafe Max food. Like, it's Apple controls all the food because it's their premises. And that's a trivial thing on one level, right? The food at the event. Like, who cares? But the people who are there care. But on another level, it is also, take that a little further, Apple controls everything. They control the scheduling. They can do it whenever they want. That's why the Steve Jobs Theater exists, right? Is that instead of having to work around Moscone West or Yerba Buena Theater or whatever, the California Theater, whatever these venues are for their larger events, because they only had the little town hall at Infinite Loop, they built the Steve Jobs Theater, right? Like, the whole idea there is we control everything about this process. And I do wonder now, if this is the future of WWDC, as you said, which is like, they're trying this out, but like, maybe this is the future, is some developers get invited for a short event.
Right.
The media gets invited for the keynote, which I had predicted that was the future, was just like, literally, we're going to make it a media event and the rest of it's online. They've got a developer center, but they've also got labs that are virtual for people who are remote. And it becomes like an event that people can go to, but that is also facing more outward to everyone else than it used to be.
Accessibility is a huge part of that, right? There's lots of people who cannot make that trip for a variety of reasons, financial,
nearly
100%
of Apple developers don't go to WWDC.
Right, exactly.
But it's fun. And it's more fun to kind of feel that it's an event, but then this way,
so
Apple like scales
having a
it down
lottery,
and controls
you kind
it.
Of get away with it. Yeah, exactly. You got control. You've got the ability to, have some people there and like present the appearance of having an event. It is a lot cheaper, I am sure, to produce. And it's, like I said, it's a broader audience. Yeah. So I think that's a smart template for the future.
They've got the space. I mean, that's the funny thing is if they want to do, and you're like, oh, but that's so many people. It's like, if they have 45-50 acres inside the ring, right? Plus they've got a lot of outside the ring space. They could do a whole event there. They have to do security and they have to have crowd control, and it potentially disrupts the work that week. Although, a lot of the people who are working there have to work that week for WWDC anyway, but like they could do an event of a fairly large size and have it be completely on their campus if they wanted to. And that's That's really interesting. I don't know whether they'll do that or not. One of the challenges, I will say, again, talking about, you know, the food at Cafe Max and all of that, is at San Jose or San Francisco, the hotels are all around the convention center, because that's what you do, is you build hotels near convention centers. And so in the in-between hours of an event, everybody's outside and they can walk back to their hotel, and then they can come back and they can do all of that. And one of the challenges of doing an event at Apple Park is there's nothing around Apple Park at all.
Right. Right.
So I do wonder how that's going to go, because if Apple did want to do these events in the long run around Apple Park, they kind of need to provide a place for people to be all day at Apple Park. And maybe they will, but like, you can't just like, if you've got Mike Hurley, he's going to the keynote with me, wherever we're going, we don't even know. That ends at noon, let's say. And then we're going to do Upgrade a little before four, I think, on Monday. 2:45. We're going to do Upgrade, and we're going to do it there on the campus. So it's like for 3 hours almost, Mike has to be somewhere. And it's like, are they going to let him hang around? I assume they are, but it's weird, right?
Because
he can't go back to the hotel room.
What am I doing?
He's in downtown San Jose. Like, he can't go back to the hotel room. So I know you've got that too, where you've got, and even funnier, again, sorry for the real inside baseball here, but even funnier is some of us have WebEx briefings during our time at Apple Park, and it's like, do I take that at Cafe Max? Do I go sit on the grass outside?
Do I stand
on the street on Tantau Avenue? How does that work too? And I just don't know. So these are all the questions that we'll have to answer. But the difference between convention center and your campus.
And the funny part, as always, is the things that Apple may or may not have thought about. Because sometimes these things fall through the cracks, and they're like, yeah, I guess maybe we can find a place for you to sit for a little while if you want. Like,
hey, tell you what, guys, this WebEx briefing I'm doing, why don't you just let me sit outside the pane of glass where the person is doing the WebEx briefing, and I'll shout if I have any questions, right? Like, it's so weird. But they'll all figure it out. I think it's fun. I'm looking forward to seeing Apple Park. I have only ever been to the Steve Jobs Theater, and you've never been at all.
Never been at all. Yeah, I'm excited for that. I mean, I know it's not a thing that as a professional that I should get that excited about, but I am intrigued. I've been to Infinite Loop a bunch of times.
It helps to know what you're talking about. Like, we've written about Apple Park all these ways, but like, you've never set foot on it, and I've only set foot on the part that they put over on the side for the rabble to go to.
Right,
and now they're like opening their doors, and it's like, oh, we're going to be inside the ring, maybe? Oh, maybe they won't let us inside the ring, Dan. We'll be out in the...
I have a feeling that we may not get to see as much of it as we'd like. But on the flip side, it's not a place where everybody is currently going to work, so they have a lot of extra
room.
That's
true. I doubt they're going to let us just go into the building somewhere and sit and work for a while. Like, that's probably
maybe
not
ushered through somewhere.
But the developer center is that they built apparently across the street. That's there. I think that says... I'm fascinated to hear how they spin the developer center thing, right? Because the developer center is like a building where... focused on developers, and the developers are going to come, and presumably all developer relations is going to be there and all of that.
But can you just drop in?
But it's across the street.
Just like, hey, I'm a developer.
I wonder if part of it is that Apple developers, that if one of their messages is going to be WWDC is great, but you can be part of this all year long. We will let you schedule and time at the developer center. Wherever you are in the world, you can come and spend a week at the developer center, or spend 3 days at the developer center, and we'll have labs there, and we're going to maintain that throughout, and you're going to be able to come with your app, and we're gonna let you do that as an Apple developer. Right. That would be really interesting.
Or doing, you know, they've done the tech talks in the past, right, at various Apple stores around the world.
Sure.
So having an opportunity for that, maybe even having an opportunity for... I don't know, like scholarship programs where it's like, hey, we have an opportunity for like 4 times a year. Like, we're going to get a group of people in and like fly them out.
And we're going
like,
to come to the developer center.
Yeah, come to the developer center.
I don't know what that message is, but that is obviously going to be a core message of WWDC, because it's a developer conference and they built a developer center and they're going to show it off.
They built the sets, Jason.
They built the sets. This is a strange new world we're going to here, Dan. We'll see if there's new life forms and new civilizations or not. But yeah, it's gonna be good. It's gonna be something.
I'm excited. I mean, it is a, you know, if not a return to the way things used to be, at least a glimpse into what that used to be like. And it was, for me especially, as someone who, like, you know, doesn't get out to California very often. In fact, this is my first trip to California since the pandemic.
Get together, have a
few laughs.
You were just out on the West Coast, though.
I was West Coast. I just wasn't down there. But, like, you know, I have a lot of friends in the Bay Area. There are a lot of people I only see at these events. And so that's kind of, I'm looking forward to that.
I know. The talk show is going to happen. For people who don't know, John Gruber is going to do the talk show at like 3:30 in the afternoon on Tuesday at the Developer Center. So that's fascinating. But this is another way I will say, okay, there's always been this perception of Apple as, rightfully so, during a period of time, as being sort of like super locked down, and like everything that happened around WWDC was not something Apple was interested in. They kept complete control over their part, and the rest of it was just things would happen on the outside. And they have changed, and they have been changing over the last, I don't know, 5 or 10 years. So one of those examples I would give for this WWDC, not only are they holding it at their campus, but there is an audio studio that is being made available. We're going to be there. Upgrade is going to record there on Monday afternoon. Mac Power Users, I believe, is going to record there right after us. And on Tuesday, John Gruber's talk show is going to be at the Apple Developer Center, and the tickets were mediated by an Apple website.
Yeah, that was wild.
Right?
We've gone from a thing that happened ancillary to WWDC to a point where he started getting Apple executives onto it. Now he's like he's under the aegis. He's in the mothership.
So, and if you want to give you some pause about that, like, wait a second, is this official media or not? It's like, you know, I think it's not, but like, we could have that conversation. But I think what is interesting is it is Apple recognizing, oh yeah, we made this a thing. Maybe we should, you know, make it a thing. Like, the thing is happening without us. Maybe we should help the thing happen. And, you know, we're going to do Upgrade either way, but it will be kind of cool to do it from wherever we're doing it.
Yeah.
Again, a mystery point. I had it, not to tell too many tales out of school, but I had a very good briefing, or it was not even a briefing. It was a very good conversation with a couple of people at Apple about logistics for next week. And all I'll tell you is, they only referred to where I was going and where I was coming from as point A and point B. And I just loved it. I thought that, you know, basically my response was, so there are two points. That's all I know, A and B. I don't know where they are. I don't know what they are.
There is presumably a line between them.
But Mike and I will be recording at point B, you see. And I have to get to point B, but I still don't know where that is, and they won't tell us, and it will just remain a mystery. It's hilarious. So we don't know anything, but it's all happening, and, you know, good for them. And, you know, and we'll see. I mean, Mike and I recorded a very echoey podcast in the McHenry Convention Center at one point, using a setup that Apple had set up there. And it was one of those moments where we're like, we should probably just do this back at the hotel from now on. But so hopefully this will be a good studio, but I don't know. I kind of, the idea of saying we're live in Apple Park, I kind of can't turn that down. That sounds really cool.
Yeah. So, well, sadly, I had the opportunity to record clockwise, but I don't think I can get enough people because
Micah
will not be present, and I don't know who else will be there.
And we don't know a lot about our schedules, right?
Exactly. So trying to wedge that in there, it's like,
I'll tell you what, I could bring 4 microphones just in case.
Okay.
Do the old thing. So people may, who have listened to Clockwise for a long time, we used to do, like, they did the one at the Bill Graham Civic Auditorium, and I remember standing out under the trees in the median in the parking lot in front of the Civic Auditorium with the 4 microphones, just having that. And we did one that I don't think you were at, that was like standing in the parking lot in Vegas at CES. And it was, so there is a history of Clockwise being literally 4 people holding handheld microphones, standing in the sequence, in Clockwise sequence, doing a Clockwise episode. We could do that, but the problem is I don't know when that would happen. Sometime Tuesday.
And having to wrangle, it's just you and Mike for Upgrade, having to wrangle other people is always a challenge.
And it's
for
not
me.
Like, you know, Underscore is there, and Stephen Hackett is, I mean, like, a lot of people we know are there, but you've got to get 4 people in one place for 30 minutes, when everybody else is running around. So
and be allowed to have a space and get the people who are, well, maybe the developers and the media, yeah, but if they're in separate places, is that a problem?
Yeah, maybe.
So well, anyways,
I would say hold out the possibility that it might happen, because I think maybe there's some leeway Tuesday evening. Boy, isn't it great we're scheduling a podcast here on a podcast, but I'll tell you what though, I'll bring my Zoom recorder and four microphones and we can
see. It could just be you and me doing funny voices.
Oh, wouldn't that be great? Why, thank you, Jason. I think that's a great question. yeah, that's a character.
That's a possibility. Okay. He's very smart.
That would be, that. Yeah, sure. And from Canada, I've decided.
Okay, yeah,
Canadians
sure.
Canadians speak like this, a boot. Anyway.
Lost a lot punchy. Of Canadian listeners on that one.
Yeah, I know. And also, it's a boat in a lot of places, not a boot. That's just a, I understand. In Toronto, milk comes in a bag. It's a thing that comes in a bag.
It does. So I've heard.
All right. Well, expect us when you see us, but perhaps there will be a special in-person episode of the Secret Podcast, maybe a Six Colors Podcast. It's not secret anymore. We tell everybody about it because it's part of their membership and they really ought to take advantage of it. But I still think of it as the Secret Podcast because it began in secret and then was revealed to the world. But maybe Monday night we'll get a chance to talk at least briefly about what happened and post that. And then hopefully back next Friday. But until then, until I see you, Dan.
That's right.
Bye.
Bye, Jason.